Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got 5 hours of sports coming up. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive, and the Super Bowl winning scout of the Green Bay Packers. Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here at 75 and Fitchy. You do have Wolchuk and Chia following the house, and Carter Freeman is coordinating your video along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, watching high school state championship games.
Oh!
That ball is intercepted on a fourth down attempt. Can he take that to the house for the game?
I don't think he knows.
And he's not. Yeah, he's definitely not sure.
Go, you got to go. Got to go. Make a call.
Yeah, get in there, buddy. Got a C on his jersey. It was intercepted in the end zone by Ganado.
It is an offensive play. Yeah, it's a fourth down.
That's game, right? We're in overtime.
That should be game over.
Did he step out of bounds?
I don't know.
They probably blew the whistle.
What are we doing? I thought that was an offensive play.
I bet they blew the whistle.
Do you think they messed this up?
I think the refs just forced Ganado here to now go make a play. There he is. He's in. Oh, he stepped out.
He stepped out back on the one.
Good call.
On
the one.
It's a house call from 103 yards for the game.
All right.
Oh, dude.
Well, this is fun.
He's going to be kicking himself.
The excitement of everybody gathered there at AT&T Stadium. Man. The cheerleaders are like, go, buddy, go. Yeah, number 10, he just stepped out of bounds there.
Right
on the
foot.
Jim.
Oh, Jim. Once you blow the whistle. Ganado. Ganado's got a shot to win it, boys.
So now Ganado takes possession with a chance to beat Stanford here from the 25-yard line. We'll keep you abreast of the situation here. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation. How the heck you guys doing today?
Awesome, bro.
Sunny weather, cold, cold morning. Holy cow. It's 37 when I stepped outside today.
Chilly, windy, but sunny, and I'm proud to be here.
Have we heard that we're outside on Sunday for the pregame?
I have not gotten any intel on that. I was just crossing my fingers and hoping that we would be.
I think it was like a low of 37.
Indoor. Oh, then we're going to be inside. We'll be in the Sham studio.
I think you need to bring one of them Green Bay coats for Chief this time.
Oh, I got a couple of them, yeah.
Get the park out.
I got the park out.
From the Super Bowl year.
So we're invested in this damn game now and trying to open up a show.
It's like back when we used to do night radio and you got a good game on, you know?
Tied at 28, double overtime. And if Ganado scores here, they will get the win. Let's have a Jerry Jones conversation to open up with, because there's a new show coming out on Netflix. It's called America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys. And the money quote in the promo that's getting people fired up on Cowboys Twitter is a Jerry Jones saying it's bigger than winning football games. What do you guys think he meant by that? And Wolchuk, how much does it bother you?
I guess need to see it, you know, to get the full context on it. But it pretty much just proves, I guess, a lot of the people that have been saying, hey, they don't care about winning games. They're caring about the pageantry and the money, the success that comes with it. It's hard to argue it. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited to watch it. I'll definitely consume it. But I think that this speaks to a lot of the frustration that me and the fan base have, where it's like, dude, where are the priorities? We know you are the richest organization in all of football. And, Brian, you talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this team, the Cowboys, were good before you bought them.
They were.
And they had won Super Bowls, they had Hall of Famers, they had already built the legacy of America's Team. What Jerry's done as an owner is fantastic. But where do you put the priority of winning championships? And it seems like maybe that has been lost.
I believe we're going to triple overtime because Ganado just got nothing. Now coming up on 4th and 11, and as Mike told you, their field goal kicker missed a 25-yarder for the game at the end of regulation.
Yeah, only
21.5 yarder on that one that he missed. Now, I watched the Netflix one recently. I binge watched it and got bad sleep because of it. I watched Mr. McMahon, and that's the documentary on him, and they went hard, I will say, on his sex life. And everything, all the other stuff, Jerry would never allow, like...
I don't think so.
I asked this exact question to Derek Eagleton this morning.
Because,
and, Vince, I asked, how much controlling do you get to do of this? And he says... Netflix is one of those organizations where if we can't post it, we're not going to do it. So he was thinking that this was not going to be softballville. This was going to be something that but there's some things that you know about, Derek said, because I said, I mean, it's Netflix, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, man, I remember Drive to Survive and stuff like that. It's pretty telling. And he goes, oh no, Netflix, they do these docuseries. And if they're going to do them, they're going to do them their way. And they're not interested in your feelings at all.
Do the Cowboys have like editorial control when NFL films is out there for some reason or another?
I think that's what they're used to. Yeah, that's like they could do things with the training camp stuff like that, Hard Knocks and all those things. But like Derek was basically explaining to me that when Netflix, when they show up, they either say, you either do it how we want to do it or we're just not going to do it at all.
Well, you know, Jerry's a proud man, and I'm sure he loves the fact that they can stay relevant without getting back to a Super Bowl in 29 years. You know, it loves the fact that the stadium is sold out, you know, and they're worth over $10 billion and all that. Missed field goal. We're going to triple overtime. It was wide right and short. So it's tough out
there. That was from 86 yards where that ball ended up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough out in these country towns because a lot of them don't play soccer, although. You know, some of them do. It shouldn't be hard to find at least one kid who's got a powerful leg that can kick it accurately. But by the look of that guy's footwork, everything looks uneasy. I would imagine he hasn't spent much time even with a kicking coach.
Well, how about the holder keeping the laces? Yeah.
He kicked the tee.
Oh, he kicked the tee.
The guy kicked the tee.
Why wouldn't you go for it on 4th and 11 if that's your kicker? He barely made the extra points. Like literally, he's 4 for 4 on extra points, but barely made those. Why wouldn't on 4th and 11 go, we can't make a field goal from here. Yeah. Just try 4th and 11. Let's see what happens.
How big was stepping out of bounds now?
Yeah.
Huge. Massive. Yeah, that kid's going to be kicking himself forever. Yeah.
Which one would feel worse, the kicker or that kid?
Stepping out. I mean, you make a good defensive play. And then
it was with his inside foot. His inside foot went all the way out of bounds.
I'm not lying. Is it the same kid? I'm not sure.
No, it's not.
The kid who intercepted 10. It was not the kid who just tried the field goal?
I think he was number 11 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, 10 was the interceptor. I think 11 to the kicker.
Can't be too sure. That kid found a way to have his right foot step out of bounds on the left sideline.
Yeah.
That is pretty insane. That would have been a walk-off pick six for the championship.
He'd be 46 years old still thinking about that.
For sure. Yeah. Unless they win this game. Well, even if they win the game. Okay, there's a touchdown on first down from 3 yards out as Ganado has gone up 34-28.
And isn't 7 the kicker?
I think 7 is the kicker.
I think 4 is.
I don't know who it is.
I think 4 is your kicker. I think.
Well, 7 just bailed them out.
Okay, so we're in the third overtime now.
I think you got to go for 2, don't you?
I think you just do one play.
Yeah, they just do 2-point conversions.
Yeah, I think we're done kicking. I think we're done kicking now, if that's the case.
Well, that's a relief for that kid. Yeah, that's for sure.
No question. What a great play.
So on top of the Netflix series coming out that we're interested to see, there's a story about Jets owner Woody Johnson today. Have you guys seen this in The Athletic and New York Times?
This is an all-timer,
this
dude.
This is like, okay, I feel a little bit better about where we are as Cowboy fans because at least it's not that bad.
Yeah, this is like the worst-case scenario or what people fear the most out of Jerry Jones. I mean, it's very much applying to Woody Johnson. Maybe without a good – it's like Woody – Jerry Jones is like Woody but with better impulse control and a better scouting department. Athletic spoke to 20 team sources. Mm. And the consensus is he's over-involved and impulsive. So that was the 2-point play. Now Stanford's going to try their shot. And it's intercepted. Ganado wins the 2A Division I championship. Congratulations to those boys and that coach and everybody involved in that community.
The quarterback just intercepted the ball.
That's awesome.
What a beast.
Yeah.
A touchdown interception in back-to-back plays. Pretty outstanding.
Okay, how about this spot-on comp to Jones, though? There is some stuff as you skim through this article that you're like, that sounds exactly like Jerry. Some inside the organization believe Johnson's consumed with the public perception of his franchise, sometimes at the expense of the on-field success. It's the same disease, just different degrees of it, right?
Yeah, where you're not putting the winning and the stuff on the field, as you mentioned, as the priority. So, I mean, that's pretty apples to apples there. He takes it to a different level.
Yeah.
A hilarious level, as I know we'll get to, but yeah, there's definitely similarities. Both of these guys don't have winning Super Bowls as their number one priority.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's any coincidence that they're two of the most disappointing teams over the last three decades. The Jets, my entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, not a coincidence. I wonder if Jerry reads this, if any of it resonates with him, especially, you know, in light of the quote from the Netflix promo. He demands players are benched. Okay? Mm-hmm. That happens around here. I don't know if it's a demand, but it's a heavy suggestion. He nixed a trade for Jerry Jeudy, though. That's the crown jewel of the piece. Why? Well, Denver and New York were hammering out this deal last year for Jeudy. And suddenly, you know, they call Woody for his, you know, final approval. And he says no. They ask why. And Woody says because his Madden rating isn't high enough, which makes people think that maybe this is Brick Johnson, you know, doing the work.
Yeah. It goes
his
back.
Video game playing son.
Yeah, it goes back to his college age kids that are shadow GMing this thing. And that's part of the reason why Madden comes up.
That's such a shame if, you know, for the guys and gals and everybody that's in personnel that, you know, and to have to go through that, you know.
And here comes some 19-year-old named Brick.
Just the ownership that doesn't have any faith that you can do your job the correct way.
You know? And now out goes your first-round picks for Davante Adams, right? Because you didn't have Jeudy to go along with Garrett Wilson. So the issue compounds. You know, if you have Jeudy this year, Judy's in Cleveland has 1,000 yards already.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure does.
I think the Madden rating is a fairly accurate ballpark summation of how you are producing now, but you pay your scouts and your executives.
That's the biggest problem I have. And, you know, and trust me, we didn't do Jerry Jones any favors when I worked there. I mean, favors like helping him with, he trusted us and we did a horse-ass job in a lot of ways. And so I can understand why maybe ownership goes away from something. Maybe, you know, they're involved, but that's just a disservice to your scale. If Joe Douglas is working on a deal and they feel like that they've got the evaluation right, you know, and then the owner walks in and says, hey, I don't want to do the deal for that reason, then you're just, you know, you might as well close your door and start to get on the phone and try and find where some other jobs are that you can maybe go find.
Another quote says it's the most dysfunctional place imaginable. We're talking about the New York Jets and Woody Johnson. And doesn't this resemble Jones as well? Your job becomes managing Woody, said a current team executive. It's not unique for an NFL GM. The difference here is that not only are you managing Woody, but you have to manage all the people who influence him.
See, we had that problem for the time I was in Oakland. We used to meet to talk about what we were going to say and not say to Mr. Davis.
Wow.
We used to have meetings and like, cause he would come in the afternoon, like around 5 o'clock. And then he would work all night. And then you were on call like all night.
He looks like a nocturnal fellow. That makes plenty of sense.
So we would have a meeting and talk about, okay, listen, the old man's going to ask you this question today. This needs to be our answer. And we would get, and then you could hear,
So like, you guys were ballsacking the owner?
Just making sure everyone was on the same page.
It was a coup d'etat.
We were making sure that we're on the same page because you could hear all our offices were lined up. So you could hear one phone ring and then the next phone ring then the next phone ring and then the next phone. You could hear it all the way. And we wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page because all he was looking for was somebody to say, oh, sure, Mr. Davis. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, because there were certain players that he fell in love with that couldn't play. Mm. So we had to make sure that we were lined up in order to make sure that that didn't happen. That guys that he absolutely, you know, this Calvin Branch, he could play. He's a star. You don't know. And then, oh, no, Mr. Davis, you know, we've got other guys and
That's what we had to kind of do.
But because all you needed was one guy to tell all him what you wanted needed, to hear.
He would then, well.
He's a good player.
Michael Lombardi likes the player. He talked to Michael. Didn't you like the player, don't you, Michael? And Mr. Davis, and we'd all look at Mike like, what are we meeting about? What are we meeting about here? You know, and I'm just using Mike's name, but that's there's some organization. I shouldn't say. I worked for one that was like that. That was that one. Cowboys. The Cowboys was different because Jerry listens to a lot of people. He has a lot of people in that are willing to give their opinion, you know, to him. You know, I remember, you know, with DeMarco Murray, the scouts busted their ass on working on DeMarco Murray when he got drafted in the third round. And the first thing that Jerry said was, that Barry Switzer told us all about DeMarco Murray.
Mm.
And the scouts were all like, you know, they were all seized up because they're like, we just did our job today.
Yeah.
We went to Norman. We did the legwork. We went the background work. We do. And that's where I had the
that was Switzer.
Yeah, it was Switzer. I mean, he immediately says that. I remember Jeff Lurie coming up to me in the draft about Curtis Enos with the Chicago before he's at Penn State. And Mr. Lurie looks at the board, and we had Curtis Enos like in the third round. And Mr. Lurie goes, that sure is low for that Curtis Enos, isn't it? And I'm like, well, Mr. Lurie, he's a big back. He's heavy. He's going to get heavier. He's slow now. You know, we're doing the legwork on it. And he went back, and what he did was he talked to all his crony owner friends and guys that, you know, and now you're fighting that. Now he comes back. He's like, I think you guys got this Curtis Enos too low. I mean, that was a battle that we had during the day, that having to deal with owner goes off, gets all crony friends, talks about player, and now there's doubt about the scouting department.
Lurie move him?
He said, okay, if you guys feel that way. And to this day, if I ever see Jeff Lurie, he thanks me for the Curtis Enos one.
For Enos?
That's incredible. He thanks me for that. But I thank him for Trotter, because he let us have Trotter. But he says, no, he goes, you guys were right about that Curtis Enos. And it's been since 19. Every time he sees me, he reminds me about Curtis Enos.
Some absolute banger quotes in this. Apparently, when Mike White in 2022 played a game for the playoffs and he was bad, I think he threw a pick to end the game or something like that, eliminated from playoff contention. White was horrible anyway, but he walks into the locker room, throws his helmet down, just walks into the shower. A few minutes later, Woody walks in and says, you should throw your helmet on the floor because you bleep and suck.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And Mike didn't hear it, but word got back to him, and Woody had to apologize and everything. Jerry's always going to take care of his guys. He wouldn't do something like that, Woody.
You know what? I never remember the time, and the last time I was in a locker room with Jerry Jones, and it was 2005. So, but I never ever remember him going up and saying a player sucked or anything like that. Now, in meetings and stuff like that, we had those conversations, but never in the locker room. Never in the locker room.
8.5 inches.
Yeah. He was always very complimentary.
Very complimentary to those players.
Okay. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. What's the biggest football team building mistake since 2020? Well, maybe we just saw it. It's coming up next year. G-Bag Nation, the fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back, Nation. Thanks for making us part of your day. We're 7 minutes from the G-Bag of the day. Best audio for the world of sports. I don't know. Maybe we might hear Brian and Zach from last night again here coming up in the G-Bag of the day.
Let's go.
Would you like that, Brian? Or
you know, you never. I'll tell you what was hard. And Zach and I were talking about this walking down the elevator. It was so hard not to cuss.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, like literally, you think about that and you have kind of a discussion like that. And I've had discussions in war rooms with that. And every other word was an F-bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked I didn't go to F-bomb mode.
Might have run out of dump button if you'd done that.
I know. I would have probably said it one time, and then you guys would have all looked at me like and gone, whoa.
That would have been a segment ender.
Yeah.
Okay, segment here brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. What is it, Wolchuk? What's the Cowboys' biggest mistake over the last 5 years?
So Barnwell, he did it for every team. He said the Cowboys' biggest mistake, and we'll see if you agree, was choosing Michael Gallup over Amari Cooper in 2022.
Hmm.
So the last time the Cowboys find themselves approaching a salary crunch, they made the distinctive decision between the two wide receivers. Gallup was about to hit free agency. Cooper was coming off an 865-yard season when he played through injuries. They decided to save money by spreading the more expensive player's salary throughout the roster. So we know they shipped off Amari to Cleveland, and instead they decided to pay Gallup. They also then said Dalton Schultz, you can leave. He went to Houston. Cooper, meanwhile, posted back-to-back 1,150-yard seasons for the Browns, and we know kind of what has happened with Michael Gallup. Do you look back on the last 4 years and say, that is their biggest mistake?
You know, I don't, because I think Amari Cooper is maybe tough to have in your building. Like what the Raiders said about him, you know, I think it kind of jives with what happened here, where people just aren't sure that he's committed to football. And I can see that, you know, because of Amari Cooper is just a different kind of guy. I think it's Dak Prescott's third contract.
Boom. Just signing it?
Yeah. You know, he had the ankle trouble over the offseason. That was letting you know this thing ain't stable. He's been injury prone for a lot of his second contract. He's not getting better, and you do that. So hopefully, you know, they can get him the kind of protection that he's going to need to have a great, pocket to throw from, and hopefully a good running game as well. And I still think you can win in spite of that. But making him the number one paid quarterback, I think that one on the ledgers definitely sticks out.
Any thought about not firing Mike McCarthy, making Dan Quinn head coach?
Mm. It was just at that time with how the defense and how bad they had looked. I think
maybe after the Green Bay,
it was just there was so much of a souring.
I know the defense was not great against Green Bay, but
yeah, but and it wasn't good against Buffalo. Like it seemed like against the good teams, they kind of had fallen apart. But, yeah, I mean, in hindsight, That's something you can
look
at. I like
what you said, by the way, Dawson. I mean,
I like the DAC thing, too. Yeah, the only caveat to the DAC thing, I guess it's similar to Mike, right? Like, you've got to have, who else? Like, who else are you putting in then? Do you have a better replacement? Now they're looking at where they're not even going to have a top five pick. They're not going to be in a position to take Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward with the way this has played out. I still ultimately agree it's probably going to end up being a big mistake. But what are they going to have done, or what would they do at quarterback if they didn't pay Dak? And then you're still having to pay him money, which is something people don't talk about. But even if Dak left for free agency, I think he's still on your book for a good chunk of money.
You would hate this answer I'm about to give you. You play Trey Lance and rally again. Maybe you're bad again.
Yeah. And maybe you end up getting the crappy pick.
And you keep stacking picks. You know, you get your cap right. You play with Trey Lance as the bridge. And then, you know, it probably is not going to end up good enough. And then now you're...
I don't hate that answer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back one more year into 2019, then you would do Ezekiel Elliott and the $50 million guarantee.
Yeah, the second contract is bad.
I mean, Jalen Smith's contract was awful.
Sure.
Did that come in 2020 or later?
That was 2019.
Yeah.
5 years, $64 million.
And I agree, a lot of the techs, like, they didn't necessarily pick Gallup over Cooper. I do think the Cooper thing got personal.
It did. Yeah. It did. It got very personal.
Well, but then you add to that, maybe it is at least the second biggest mistake, that, you know, the only getting a fifth rounder for him.
Sure.
That's a big mistake, yeah.
I mean, hey, the fourth round trades, you know? I mean, they could have drafted a runner if you didn't trade for Trey Lance with that fourth round pick. The fourth round that they just traded for Mingo. Here's one that I was talking about.
Can I add one more?
Yeah.
Was it a mistake to get rid of Tyron Smith?
I would still lean no on that one.
If anything, they waited too long on it.
Yeah, they knew he was running down, and they probably got the best out of him last year.
Okay.
I mean, he's done now, right?
Unfortunately for Tyron, yeah, he's on IR now with the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, they got so lucky last year with how healthy he was. It was like lightning in a bottle. Yes, he finally was healthy. I had doubts that was going to be able to be replicated again this year.
This Diggs contract is not going to be one they're going to be happy.
Now the injury
it's not looking good right now for sure.
I mean, if he's not available to play, that's a big, big bummer. I was wondering, we were just talking about the Jets, and since he brought up wide receiver, Barnwell did, with kind of what we've looked at here early on with the draft, Brian.
Yeah.
And now there's Garrett Wilson being floated out there with trades. If you end up with the 16th overall pick or whatever it is, would you consider trading your first rounder for Garrett Wilson?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
Great routes, good hands. You know, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah. The guy that I would absolutely...
But you got to pay him. He's on the same calendar as Micah.
Yeah.
That's a huge factor in it. You're right.
I'll tell you what, though, but...
But he's better, I think, than anybody that you're going to probably draft there.
Yeah, because if I don't have a shot at McMillan from Arizona...
Mm-hmm. Like Burden or Wilson, I'm going Wilson and all day.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's why I'm kind of looking at. I don't know if there's anybody that's going to be on the board at 16 that's better than him.
Yeah, but you have to control for money. It's $15 million more to have it, Wilson.
Per year.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, thank you, Will Chuck. An interesting discussion indeed. We'll have college football coming up at 2:40. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your G-Bag of the Day.
Yo, 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 check. Check, check, check.
Lizard.
Big Lizard. Gotta get my levels right. All right, there we go. Now I can hear myself. I sound a lot better.
Nice.
Sorry. I don't know what it sounded like to you guys, but boy, it was chaotic in my ears. I tell you what.
Loud and clear on this end.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. On a Thursday, big Thursday for Big Godzilla. Straight Game Podcast is our winner right here. Mike Bibby, Eddie House, Ty Ellis. Shout out to the Ellis family out here in the DFW. This week we found out that Eddie House is not a fan of Mike Dunleavy. I had no idea. In fact, he talks really, really vulgar about the fam. Just nasty.
Y'all had a hell of a squad, though.
No, but no. What's crazy is we almost had y'all. We had your ass, and Mike Dunleavy, and I told him this. He
don't like Mike Dunleavy.
I hate that mother.
She Wallace. A lot of people do.
I hate him. He's a piece of
too.
A lot of guys.
No, he's
like
a piece of. That's all it is. He's a piece of.
Right?
Not a, but a piece of.
I mean? Mike thought he was smarter than everybody.
And his breath stank smell like
Come on, man.
Mike Dunleavy. This is about you and your team. That mother, man. You know what I'm saying at the end of the day.
That was violence.
That was violence.
That was violence, bro. That was a drive-by on Mike Dunleavy. My God, man.
Man, Mike's got to be 70 years old now or so, but I bet he still wants a piece of all three of those guys.
I believe it. If he heard that, I'm pretty sure he has by now. Yeah, he's rubbing that Bengay on his knees right now, trying to get him, see if he still got it.
Checking the men's tea clinic. Yeah. I'll get him by the springtime.
Yeah, man. All right, that's what the people want. Woolchuck and Broadus beefing over who's going to return some punts and kicks out here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hold on. The spirit's
up. We're here tonight. I love it.
I love this one, too. That's enough.
I was putting together toys last night with a montage of the best Christmas songs. This one came on. It's great.
Yeah, this one right here jams, bro. Yeah, Woolchuck and Broadus right here beefing over who's going to return some punts out here. This happened at the 6 o'clock hour of the G-Bag Nation.
It's so fascinating. Deion Sanders like never was a punt returner just because we didn't want to play the best corner of all time on special teams to help us score touchdowns and win games because we were scared.
He was scared.
Yeah.
Not right? scared at all. Like, I'm just telling you though, it would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be real weird though when you put him back there in a punt return in week two and then he blows out his knee and then we don't have him the rest of the year. And then we'll talk about then you could be scared for your job. How about that one?
Okay. Well, if he goes out there and is covering a play and tears his ACL, that also sucks.
If you would listen to me, I told you that I have no problem.
I don't see the difference.
I have no problem in the field of play. I have no problem in the field of play. I said that earlier. I'm just telling you, as a returner.
So situationally, you would never put him out there either.
No, the situation is part of being in the field. I'm just telling you, as a returner, I wouldn't do it. I would absolutely pick it, but go ahead and do it.
Deion path.
Go ahead and do it, though. And if he gets hurt, I'll remind you about it when I'm firing you for doing it.
That's fine. Hey, okay. I didn't play like a coward.
Yeah.
And if you want to have the coward attitude, that's why you're not going to win a damn championship.
Coward attitude.
That's fine with me.
I did win a championship, if you remember that.
Yeah.
I do have a Super Bowl ring. Right.
You do.
I did. I was part of this.
You do.
I do.
You were part of that. You sure remind all of us that you were part of it.
You know why? Because I'm proud of that.
You should be.
I'm very proud of that.
Absolutely.
You proud of anything?
I'm proud of a lot of things.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Proud of sitting here right now.
Good.
Proud of you. Proud of what we've done here.
Good.
Proud of my daughter at home.
Good
proud
you.
Of my family.
It should be.
Proud of a lot.
Be proud of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Be proud of it. I am.
Good.
Good. All right. Fine.
I am.
Be proud of it. All right.
All right. Okay, so I was unclear last night live how it started. It's clear Brian started it.
You think so? Because I think I definitely
when
was
you egging. Said it'd be weird,
I was egging Brian on.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he definitely was, bro.
I was.
Huh. He called him a coward and what?
Yeah, that's
sort of being scared.
The coward, yes, the
scared.
Coward. Yeah. The coward was the all in.
No, the coward thing.
But it started with the scared.
Because we've talked about it before.
Yeah,
the scared business right here at the very beginning.
Don't be a coward.
Yeah. No, right here.
It's so fascinating.
Deion Sanders like never was a punt returner, just because we were scared.
Right there. Yeah. Just because
we were scared.
You see, had it all smarmy, too?
Yeah, we were scared.
And as Broadus was talking throughout the argument, you know, Wilson was being smarmy the whole time. Yeah. Mm-mm. Uh-huh. He's still scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little things under there.
it was triggering.
Oh, would have choked you out. Yeah.
I think we both agreed to, though, in a big moment, you're putting him back there, right?
In a big moment? Probably.
Yeah.
In a big moment, but I'm not saying I'm doing it every time. I'm not. He's not my primary guy.
I can agree to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's a good compromise.
I think that's how it ended. The whole argument ended, too.
Yeah.
I didn't have all the time to play the whole damn thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Big Godzilla.
What are you proud of?
What are you proud of?
You proud of anything?
I'm proud of anything?
No, I'm not.
Had me driving home thinking about the things I'm proud of.
I'm telling you what, man. I'm just.
I am a loser. Yeah. I'm not proud of a lot of things. I got to get it together.
I'm proud I didn't cuss. That's right.
Good for you, man.
I was for sure.
I'm proud that when the microphones turned off, you didn't stand up and then start cussing and screaming at him during the commercial break.
You could go sit in the other room.
I was proud of you.
I tell you what, man, it's this tea I'm drinking now. It's kind of calming me down.
It's a Zen tea.
Yeah, I think it's making me a lot calmer.
I don't think so. I don't think it worked last night.
No, the word.
Calamine or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But it was the whole thing. It was the coward. That right there.
Scared coward.
That triggered me.
Okay, I got more.
I'm sorry about that.
Jeez. Come on. All right, Chia Fowler.
Coward.
Giafalo's got all the answers, apparently. Or at least he's ready to answer Gavin Dawson at any given moment. Right. Even when Gavin Dawson is calling for some audio.
Okay, we go to Jerry with Sean and RJ. Things going much more smoothly, you know, this time of year. And this was a very interesting question. Are McCarthy and Zimmer tied together because they're both in the expiring year of their contracts? We're going to get Jerry.
Well, in a way, I
appreciate
do.
That. Appreciate and, that, Chief.
Especially after the last.
appreciate you that, paid me Chief. Back for like a month ago when I was like reacting to a story that none of us were listening to.
Yeah. No, it kills me because I remember vividly your transition to we're gonna go to Jerry, and then I just blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you teed up a question there, or whatever, and then I can see on Broadus's face he's not about to say anything.
Yeah.
I can tell peripherally Walchuk was not going to say anything, and they both had great reasons not to be.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guess I got to save this moment.
My turn.
What was that question again?
We had to do it yesterday, though, where you, like, Walchuk brought up about, it was baseball, it was somebody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Was,
and then you're like.
Nolan Arenado.
And then you read it, and I was like going.
Yeah, like 20 minutes later, we got breaking news here, guys.
That one hurt, though.
It's a trap, though, with five people on the show because you can be like, oh, they got it. I'm going to go look into this real quick, mm-hmm. right? And then the next thing you know, people are staring at you.
Hey, what'd you say?
I wasn't even confident with an answer there. I'm like limping in with like,
it's very much like me. I was like, yeah.
All right, last one, man. We already up against it. I'm going to get the wag of the finger for this, fellas. I'm going to blame it all on you, too. Yesterday was your church day. I prayed you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes, and I see Freddie Haynes. I see that you have linked up with Professor Karen Hunter for a podcast about Revelations and the Seven Seals. Drop it! Stop teasing it and drop it. I want to hear what you're talking about here because I feel like we're in a particular time. All right, we've got a worship team. They're struggling with this Christmas song.
Potential.
Oh, potential.
That was like random.
Oh, no.
The 6-year-old on drums?
Yeah.
Let's try that one more time.
I think we should try that one again.
We do.
You just ruined Christmas, honey.
That's much more like it.
It does.
Is it Eddie House on Coach Dunleavy, Walchuk versus Broadus? Chief answers a throw to audio, or is it the worship team struggling with the Christmas song?
That never gets old.
I'll go with what the Tolos want, and that's the fight. Chief.
Yeah. I'm not going to be a coward and vote for anything else.
Lucius, would you be proud to vote for any of these?
Yeah, Chiafalo got the answers.
There you go. It's 2-1, Walchuk.
I'm going to throw one at Eric's way, too.
Oh, we're tied at 2, Brian.
Chief!
Oh, no!
Yes! Yes! Good job, Walchuk.
Let's go.
Not a coward at all on that one.
By a score of 3-2, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's the Chief. In an unrelated story, Walchuk versus Broadus, honorary 5-time champ, eligible for G-Bag of the Year.
Take that.
What are we doing next, Walchuk?
Let's preview the college football playoff. Who are the best quarterbacks? What are the best weaknesses? And did Quinn not make this list? That's next.
Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. C-Note's coming up at 3:20. They brought back one of their former draft picks today. We'll get you that and more. But right now, it's time for some college football. Here's Walchuk.
All right, tomorrow night, it's kicking off, baby. It is tomorrow the college night. Football playoff. Let's go.
Tomorrow night.
I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. Saturday is, I mean, it's one of the best football days. We've been talking about this all week, but like as a consumer, this is going to be a dream scenario where you do have some NFL football. I have seen like Mother Football, Shireen Williams. they're going to take away from some of the college football watching. I think it really just all depends on how good are the games. Like, I think for us that are just going to live and breathe football that day, we're going to try and be somewhere where we're watching at the same time. I got multiple screens up. I got the NFL game. I got the college football playoff game. And then whichever game ends up being better is what you'll probably end up focusing on. But this is going to be a blast. And tomorrow night, we get Indiana, the Hoosiers,
yeah,
going to South Bend, Notre Dame, and we get the delicious Shamrock.
Yeah.
Bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
Yeah, I mean,
it's bread
that.
Pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the caramel.
It's the pudding.
Yeah, Babe Laufenberg's there. He sent me a picture in his IU Letterman jacket.
Oh, there you go.
He didn't wear it for Rudy?
No, he said if he finds Rudy, he will attempt to kick his ass.
Perfect.
Mm. After he just watched the movie and didn't think it was all that good. So,
he's got a good taste.
Tomorrow, though, is one of those days where, man, if you had a sports book within striking distance, that is a sports book Saturday for the ages to just hang around surrounded by the TVs because they're all high-stakes games. Of course, the playoff games in college, but even the NFL games at this point in the season, like you want to be immersed in that. That would be a no-brainer situation where you're like, gosh, dang it, I wish we were in Vegas or I wish we had gambling legal here because it would be a sportsbook Saturday for the ages.
Yeah, you know, and it's unthinkable to find an online sportsbook.
Unthinkable.
You know, I wouldn't want to violate U.S. law like that considering, our founding principles of freedom. You know, it just wouldn't seem right, Wolchuk.
Yeah, well, so we got a text like, well, why the NFL? Well, we do have two Saturday NFL games. We got Texans Chiefs at noon. When then we have Steelers Ravens at 3:30, all four playoff teams right now. Then Saturday at noon, you've got SMU Penn State. Then at 3, we've got Clemson Texas. And at 7, it's Tennessee and Ohio State. Now, CBS Sports came out with their ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks, or just the quarterback power rankings of the playoff. I found this interesting because I heard Sean and RJ this morning, and then I saw it on ESPN. But ESPN put out like the top 50 players in this playoff. Quinn Ewers of Texas is not in the top 50.
Wow.
And when you look at the rankings from CBS Sports of the quarterbacks, out of the 12 teams that are in this, Quinn is number 9. He is ahead of Maddox Madsen, the Boise State quarterback, Nico at Tennessee, and then Gunnar Stockton, who's really the backup at Georgia that's going to be playing in place of Carson Beck, who's got the elbow injury.
You know, I think Sarkisian does a lot of stuff right, but I'm just trying to figure out why you would not go with Arch, you know, after everything you've seen over the last couple of seasons. You know, is he loyal to the guy? Is he trying to make a statement to other quarterbacks that I'm going to stick with you?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, he has to believe. He goes, listen, this kid got me here. And so I think that that's where he's at. I don't think he wants to be a coach that's one of those guys that treats his quarterbacks that way because he's got to think about future.
Yeah.
Not only Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning, but he's got to think about other 5-star kids that are going to come to his program. And if you get a situation like, well, man, he treats the quarterbacks not very well here, then you're going to have a situation. Did Texas A&M have that problem a little bit with Jimbo Fisher? Murray. They had like all these quarterbacks that left.
Absolutely.
They left because
they had a quick trigger on them all.
They had a quick trigger. And you wonder if Texas A&M, and Texas A&M was on a run where they had a bunch of really good quarterbacks, and then they all left and went somewhere else. And I think as a coach, he's thinking a big picture right now. He's probably thinking, yeah, great, we're in the playoffs, but if I don't do this the right way, maybe I'll never get another guy like this again.
And I think that's 100% accurate, everything you said. And everything that I'd heard of is the team also does love Quinn. Like, yeah. Quinn's loved in the locker room. But it was, I mean, I couldn't help but see the reaction after Arch Manning goes in against A&M, runs for that touchdown, and he's walking back to the sideline, and he's flexing, and everybody is just mobbing him on that sideline as well. It seems like there's a lot of love for both quarterbacks.
And I think Chief had the right idea. He said it yesterday. Just have packages for Arch, you know, so you can kind of get
the
best of both worlds. And he knows more about Arch than we do, you know, like how is he going to be under pressure? What's his decision making? Is he going to stay locking into a primary wide receiver, you know? And those are probably things that he trusts Quinn Ewers to manage the offense better.
No doubt. And the experience level. I mean, Quinn has been there, done that. I mean, Carter was talking earlier with KMC, like, okay, that he did put Arch in against Georgia. And Arch did not look great in that moment. No. But I mean, I've used the same reference that 702 has with Alabama and when it comes to Jalen Hurts and Tua.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they had to go to Tua to win a national championship. Yeah. I think if Texas is going to win a national championship, there is going to be a point where they will have to go to Arch Manning. That's just how I see that, if they're going to get it done. Otherwise, I don't think just playing Quinn is good enough to get themselves to navigate this.
No, great defenses lock them down. I want a mobile guy.
Yeah, it's that, you hit the nail on the head. That's the word mobile, and that's what you lose right now. And maybe that's because Quinn Ewers is compromised with the leg injury, the ankle injury, and he's not as mobile as he needs to be in this day and age. When you're playing against these defenses that will get after you, you have to be able to escape, and I don't think Quinn Ewers does that well enough.
No, and he can get some happy feet in the pocket. We've talked about that. I mean, there's times he throws an absolutely gorgeous ball.
At Alabama
the
game.
Touchdown at Michigan.
Exactly, yeah.
Like that was a hell. I mean, yeah. The Alabama, when they went to Tuscaloosa.
When they went to Tuscaloosa. I mean, that was one of the prettiest passes you'll ever see in a huge game. But there was just not enough of
those. It's just the lack of consistency. Yeah. There's moments where you're like, wow, that's a first rounder. Yeah. And there's moments where you're like, ooh, would I take that guy day three?
Yeah.
I don't think he's got an NFL future. Kevin Jennings, by the way, of SMU is sixth best on the CBS Sports list.
That Colt's going to get him.
Gabriel at Oregon, Curtis Rourke at Indiana, Aller at Penn State, Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, Sam Leavitt at Arizona, and then Kevin Jennings there, sixth ahead of Will Howard.
Wow, they're underrating our guy in a huge way.
I think so, too.
Come on.
Yeah, Kevin Jennings to me is the only reason why I think SMU still got a chance. Even in the snow there and the cold weather.
Yeah, it's
I'm just hoping
tough.
Kevin Jennings can run his way to an SMU pony victory. But it is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Well, we're fired up for that college football weekend. We'll have more coverage on that coming up in just over an hour. Danny Cannell is going to join us tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. He's always firing opinions and often controversial, but very informative as well. So Danny will join us tomorrow there at 6. It's time now for the NFL News of the Day, though, Wolchuk. Where are you taking us?
Don't call this team soft. A Cowboys what if? And again, at least we're not the Jets. That's next.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.